all those that are here tonight and all those that are listening live around the world. We got some awesome nations. I don't know if Rachel's going to fill us in with anything or if she's just... doesn't matter to me. If you have something prepared now, if not, that's okay too. I'll go right into the message. All right, let's hear the top 10. Top 10 countries that are logging on right now are?
U.S.
Okay.
Ukraine.
Germany.
China.
Italy.
Great Britain.
France.
Russian Federation.
Netherlands.
Brazil.
Vietnam. And Vietnam. Awesome. Well, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for those top 10. I want to encourage those top 10 and those that are listening that didn't get their name registered in the top 10. Start telling your friends. You know, you tell a couple of friends, next time they tell a couple of friends. I don't know how many years it's now, 13, 14, it's going on 14 years. God has done something dramatically in my life. It changed it incredibly dramatically. I don't know whether I was in the body, out of the body, if I died, I didn't. We're still trying to figure out what happened. But I did come to a place in the universe, and I'm going to say in the universe, I came to a place of a world that is not of this earth. I came to a heavenly place. I want to call it a heavenly place. I came to a spiritual place. I came to an afterlife place. I came to God. I came to heaven. I came to whatever, however you want to say it, afterlife. I came to afterlife, and it is so real that I cannot doubt how real it is. I'm actually excited to go back and live my real life, because that's what I think is real life, not this life that I'm living. This life here is a nightmare. But not necessarily. When you know the truth sets you free. And the truth is simple. I have the truth. And I want to start giving the world the truth. And in the midst of giving the world the truth, I also want them to introduce them to the universe or my God of the universe. I want to try to connect to the world out there. Because the world, I hear them already. How many have heard the world already call God the universe? Yeah. So the world is already saying, I'm fed up with God. I'm fed up with religion. I want something greater. So where did they go? How much greater can you call anything but the universe? Oh, my God. So they're really crying out for God. They're crying out for the power of God. They're crying out for my God. They just don't know my God, nor have they been able to understand who my God is, because they've been searching for my God in religion, which is like a controlled corporation that is set on their own rules and regulations to try to transform you or, you know, change your identity of who you are. And, you know, I will say, though, in through religion, this book right here called the Holy Bible is the only book that I was able to find that bears witness with my life-changing experience. So this book is true. This book is real. Unfortunately, religion came into this book and perverted it, just like the name God. They kind of perverted God. And they, you know, you could take this scripture verse and you could twist it to their own twinkling of their ears. And you know that it says that in this book too. They've taken it and they twisted it for their own hearing, right? Okay. Well, we'll put this book aside. And I'm gonna speak the truth, and you can look it up in this book. But with that being said, I want to introduce my God, and my God has, has not been recognized because of the fact that religion has perverted the identity of who God is, and religion and the traditions of religion has wanted to change you and create you as far as a certain individual. Let's just take a culture, okay? Going over in a certain culture, don't they all kind of look alike? You know, aren't they conformed to a certain identity where they all have to wear the same garb, whatever you call that stuff. I don't know, that they drape over themselves. There are some nationalities that all dress alike too, don't they? And wouldn't you say that that's based on their religion? The majority of their culture is based in religion. Yeah, custom religion. So that's like the dramatic end of it. A lot of people are upset with the Western religion because of the fact that they allow you to have different identities. Like you could still be, you know, a Christian or a Jew or whatever, and, you know, wear jeans and stuff like that, and, you know, different shirts. How many people have been overseas in other nations and understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. Because there are people over there that are listening that are in those nations that we called out, especially Vietnam probably, that have been bound by certain ways and certain traditions and based on their religion. Well, God didn't design it that way. God designed it because I know when he changed my life, I was like, well, what do I do? And it was clearly spoken to me that I want you exactly the way you are. When I found you and I touched your life, I don't want you to change one bit. I want you to exactly the way you, I mean, and I was like, what are you saying? You still want me to be raw and rough and rugged? And, you know, shouldn't I be like prim and proper? And, you know, looking like a pastor? You know, maybe I should wear a suit and a tie now or something like that. And God clearly spoke to my heart and said, no, I want you just the way you are. And I began to understand why. Because that's God. He dwells in each and every one of us, and he has set his own laws according to you. And we need to follow those laws. And that's what forms a righteousness in the eyes of God, when we conform to those laws that are inside of each and every one of us. So let's say, Tim, come on up here. This is one of the pastors of this ministry, Tim, who I love so much.
Wait, bro.
Look at him. He don't look like me, right? That's a start. But inside we look alike. I'll get to that later. But there's a law that is on his inside of him that he has to follow. And based on him following this law, that's his righteousness in God. That's God's righteousness in him. Now, I have a law in my heart, and if I follow that law in me, then that is God's righteousness for me. And my righteousness is in God, based on that law that I'm following in here. Now, I can't force what's in me on him. And he can't force what's in him on me. This is the law of God, of creation. For example, you have an orange tree and you have an apple tree. The apple tree can't tell the orange tree, I want you to bear apples like me. And the orange tree can't say to the apple tree, I want you to bear oranges like me, you see? So there's a law that God has given even nature. How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. Because we too are like the law of nature. And we have to understand. Now, religion, this is where we lost God. And I want the world to understand, this is where we lost God. We lost the relationship with God. I'm getting all upset now. We lost the relationship with God because religion came in and started saying, hey, here's our God. Now we, you, me, we all have to change and be, and conform and be, everybody has to be an apple tree now in order to know this God. And the world needs to hear what I'm saying, because that is so untrue. That is such a lie. We can still have a relation with God and still be an orange tree and still be an apple tree. We can still grow in the same good soil, the love of God, and we can grow a good roots, healthy, and bear great fruit. How many people understand where I'm coming from? Amen. That's right. They messed up right there. Thanks, Tim. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim. Yeah. But the world needs to hear this. The world needs to understand why I'm so in love with my God, because I can be me and still have a relationship and then have someone else like Tim come around in my life, and we can have love for the same God. And yes, and be different. And why I'm going here is because we have to destroy the lies, the battles. I have another dear brother that is close in my heart. His name is John. He's here tonight. Come here, John. Come here. Lord, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for John. Yeah.
Give me a hug, bro. All right.
This guy here, he's a pear tree. or an acorn tree.
Like a pear.
Okay? But yet I introduced him to my God. Let's put it this way. I want to say I introduced you to my God. Wouldn't you agree?
Did.
Okay, good. He knew God. He knew that there was a power above. He knew that there was, but he didn't know my God. Then I introduced him to my God. Now he knows my God. And one thing he said to me, he says, Jim, you know, we're in this flesh, and we got battles. And I understand, you know, throwing the cares away and explain what you said to me.
When?
Just not too long ago, the other day, other Sunday or what have you, when you did come, that one. No.
Remind me what I...
Okay, I'll kind of share, because it really struck me. And I said, you know what, he's right. The world needs to know how to handle the battles.
All right, I remember what I
was. Okay, you want to share?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I did was you were talking about how to fight off. it was a Sunday, Wednesday, but you were talking about fighting the battles and getting rid of darkness, and I'm paraphrasing, not being specific. So I said, you know, you might want to tell the folks, all right, we've identified what the problem is, so how specifically do we do that? So we generally speak, okay, well, you just cast it off. You know, people are going to hear that and say, okay, well, how do I do that? So I think, you know, I think my point was get into some real detail. What is it? So when you get attacked, and it happens all the time, what is it that you do?
Yep.
Okay, because it's resist it, and it'll go away.
Yep.
So that was, I think, the gist of our conversation.
Yep.
Let's give the Lord a hand for John. And I'm going to go right into that, John, because I feel you. Okay? I feel you, and I feel what the world is saying. Because I understand. We got to bring it down a little bit and get a little bit lower so that we can understand a little bit more of the details that you said. Okay? And I need help from individuals, and that's why I love you to say these things, because what God did to my life, when I first came back, I couldn't understand the pain that people were carrying. I'm like, dude, just get away, walk away from it. Why, you know? And they're like, you just don't understand. I can't, you know, I'm in serious bondage. And I couldn't understand what was keeping us in bondage, because I was instantly delivered and set free. So it was like supernatural in me. It was like, you know, a very, very unique gift that was given to me. I was divinely, instantly healed, delivered, and set free. It was an instant gift. And I'm so grateful and so honored. And I owe my whole entire life and committed to the higher power of the universe, God, because of this. But when it happened, I couldn't understand why people just couldn't do it, you know, and become new again. And so as I continued on, I started realizing and started to break it down. But I need to break it down more. And we have to go into the areas of why do I continue to do the things that I keep doing that I don't want to do anymore. And it says it's because of sin that dwells within us. And many of those here today and those that have listened understand that I don't believe in sin. So when we say it's sin that dwells within us, I just say it's pure not understanding. So it's the lack of understanding that's in us that is causing us to do the things that we keep doing that we don't want to do. And it's just the lack of not understanding. So I have to bring understanding to the lack of not understanding. And so I hope that everyone will begin to believe on the words that I say, because if you believe on the words that I say and I tell you without any doubt in your heart, because doubt, I believe, destroys the power of the word. And that's why you need to believe. And so if we begin to believe, don't doubt what I say, but just believe and obey the words that I share, and you will see how fast the power of the word transforms your life. Now, huh? You have to say something?
Yeah, I
got to
say something.
Okay, come on up here. Interact on this one. Okay, good. Let's hear it.
All right, so, and I think what we were trying to say is when you get attacked, well, we get attacked every day. We get attacked every minute, every day.
Every second.
What we get in here, you can't take 45 minutes on a Sunday or even, 45 minutes on a Wednesday. You got to live this every minute of the day.
Yep.
You know, we were just talking about, we listen, on the way to work, I got a CD, I got it on an iPod. What you just said, you got to...
If you can melt a CD down,
yeah,
it,
exactly.
Good.
So you have...
Let's get it in us.
You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you have to live this every minute of the day. I think that's the only way to keep it out and to take that step forward. And we always talked about going from glory to glory to glory. As we take these steps, we're going up to a new level of glory because we're casting all this stuff out, but we're living and breathing this stuff every day, every minute of the day. And because the attacks aren't going to stop, they're always going to stop. And it's our own minds that are doing it.
Okay, you're on the track. You're going where I'm taking us. Because to understand, okay, first we have to come to a place of belief and take it serious so that we believe the words. Okay, now we need a transformation. Okay? The mind is where the only place that the world that you can't see attacks you. Okay, there's a world that I entered into, and I know this world. Okay, I entered into several worlds, and the one that I entered in was the kingdom of God. That's what we say, okay, in the heavenly place, the universe, there's an afterlife world I entered in. But I also know that it's a world that is around us that you can't see, that is dark forces that begin to be your best friend. They actually take such a form and an identity, you think it's you. It sounds like you, it smells like you, it acts like you, you think it's you. And the reality is it's not you. It's voices in your head that speak death, negative, always judgment. You look at somebody, they say something, you get offended, whatever it is, it's always an attack. To cause you to protect yourself. And you begin to cause protection. We have to loose that protection. We have to let it go and realize that our God will protect us. Okay? There's a God that loves us so much that he'll protect us. And he cares for our life. Now, what do we do with the thoughts? We have to have happy thoughts. We have to tear down all the negative, that all the judgment, all the accusations, all the offenses, I know that there are some times where I'll just see somebody and the demons are already screaming. I open up my mouth to say hello. They're hearing something else and they're already getting offended. Maybe I said it wrong. Maybe I said it too loud. Whatever it is, they already got offended. How did they get offended? How did the offense come so quick? It's because of the lies in their heads have connected such a close identity to them, they instantly thought that it was them. How many of us have ever heard of a possession? Okay, this is basically called a possession. We become so possessed with the thoughts in our head that when they speak to us and they talk to us and we believe it's us, and we manifest the whispers. And we live out the whispers. We have to begin to identify these, because this is what happens. When we begin to believe the whispers that create an identity that causes us to hate our brother. Literally, that's where it starts. We judge, we hate, we begin to have offenses against one another. There's a misunity there, a disunity. And when that enemy begins to speak and we create that identity with inside of us, all of a sudden, it goes down into our heart. And what a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So we actually become and we take on. That's where that sin that dwells within us, that's where it comes in. That's where it comes. And it causes us to stop doing, it causes us not to do what we want to do, so to say. So why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do and I keep doing it? Oh my God, I know it's wrong. I shouldn't be like this. I shouldn't act like this. I know the right thing to do. And why do I stick my foot in my mouth? How many have ever stuck their foot in their mouth somehow or another? Okay, this is the reason why. We do things because we have taken identities on, and these forces that we can't really identify take a personality and they come in as an angel of light. And they look like Jim, you know? They look like Tim. They look like John. They look like us. They sound like us. We truly believe it's us. Until after the fact. And then after the fact and the damage is done, it's like, that wasn't me. Has anybody ever been like that? Oh my God, I can't believe that. That wasn't me. But it was me because it was out of my mouth. It was my voice. It was me altogether. But it wasn't me. Oh my God. That's because we took on the identity of these dark things and we actually lose control. We have to take control back. Now, what I like to share with everybody, and how do we get control back? First of all, don't be so impatient. Don't react. We're like little reactors, little nuclear reactors. Something comes up. Wah! Oh. Sorry for those that are hearing this. Turn the volume down in a couple of minutes. We need to come to a place of first not reacting so much. Has anyone ever heard of that quick to listen, slow to speak, or slow to speak, quick to listen? One of them things, right? Slow to speak. Okay. We need to listen more. Okay. And then when I mean listen, listen to the voices in our head. Listen to the thoughts. Like, why am I feeling this way? We need to begin to be sensitive to the senses. The mind is an enemy against God. The mind is an enemy against God. And if you can really get this in your heart, you will begin to understand how important, okay, what I'm saying. Now, the Bible says enmity. It's the same thing. Same thing. Same meaning. Enemy. Yep. And it separates. Where God really dwells is within your heart. The problem is we're pushing God out of us. By the more we believe the enemy that comes into our mind, the more we take on our mind, and the more we react in our mind, and the more we allow those thoughts in our mind take possession of us, what a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So then all of a sudden, we become that person. How many have ever said, well, that's who I am? You just need to accept me for who I am. How many have ever said that? You ever say that? You, lady over there in the blue sweater there. Have you ever said that? Yes. Good. Thank you for being honest. We all say it. I remember one time speaking to this person, and they said to me, well, and this wasn't you, ma'am. This was somebody else. They said to me, well, you need to just edify me and lift me up. Why are you bringing out all my faults? And I said, well, your faults are hurting others. And they said, well, that's who I am. And you need to accept me and kind of build me up and not point out my faults. And I say, so basically what you want me to do is just build you up so that what? You can continue on hurting people? You need to say, I need to let you know that what you're asking me to do is accept your addiction. You're asking me to identify you and see that you're hurting yourself and you're hurting others, and you want me to ignore that and just build you up and not point out your faults. All right, what world are you living in? You know, that's almost saying, well, I can go ahead and rob a bank, or I'm a klepto, and I have to steal, and, you know, I know I'm strong, but, you know, that's who I am, and you just have to accept me because I'm a klepto, you know? I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, I go to the bars and have drinks, and I drive home drunk, and I could kill somebody, but you know what? Why are you picking me apart? You should accept my faults and build me up. It's taking out repentance. But how did they get that way? Possession. It comes down to where we begin to love ourselves too much. And we need to realize it's not about us. So here are the ways the enemy gets us. It gets us through our minds. And it creates a world around us. So it's all about us. It's not all about us. Think about it. Most of your arguments, most of your fights, all revolve around you. Your ways, your thoughts, your patterns, how you feel. It all revolves around you. So if we can take ourselves out of it, and begin to be slow at our reactions and stop being a nuclear reactor and just blow up. You know, sometimes it goes the opposite way. Some people just shut down. How many people have ever shut down? And then guess what? You end up crawling in your little hole. That's bad too. The enemy has ways of creating lies in your head to destroy your life. And I know how to come out of it. I know how to be free. I know how to have individuals love you unconditionally. if they're not too possessed, because when the light comes into a dark place, they tend to scream. And we have to be careful with that. But at the same time, the mind is an enemy. And our thoughts are an enemy. And we have to begin to learn how to identify the darkness that's out there that's trying to create, I want to say, division. Division amongst one another and division amongst yourself. You know, we have attacks, and some of the attacks may not be amongst one another, but let's take a personal attack. Has anyone ever heard the voices that caused you to not feel good about yourself? Whether your looks, your conditions, your attitudes, or whatever they had, right there is an attack that we have to begin to cast down. I shared this before on one of the messages that we have to identify negativity. Anything that is negative, that is out to harm or separate or divide, automatically it's darkness. Automatically, it is not light. It's not the universe. It's not God. So, I'm going to ask those that are here tonight to give me a couple of examples of your attacks. Or they don't have to be personal. You can pretend it was, you know, someone you know, like your best friend. So it don't have to be directed to you personally. So you could say, my friend comes under these attacks all the time. And I want you to kind of come up with a couple of your attacks. Okay, great. Pastor Tim. Okay, here. You want to share?
Because I know the world's got the same attacks.
I always catch the situation where, say you're in an everyday circumstance and something comes up, you always assume the worst is going to happen in that circumstance. Now, if we're supposed to be trusting God, it shouldn't bother us whatever circumstance we encounter, but if you're always assuming it, that's an attack. If you're assuming that something negative is going to transpire from it.
Yeah. You know, automatically, we're trying to read the future. And that's a great way of identifying one of these dark forces that are trying to attack our minds. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 seconds from now.
But we assume negative.
We assume. Exactly right. We automatically assume the worst. That is a positive identification of dark forces. Now, how many of us here come across those? Yeah. Oh, it'll never work. Oh, it'll never work. It's a common attack that happens all the time. And you know what the problem is all of a sudden we receive that voice and then we get worried. Then we begin to get fearful. And depending on the strength of it, the magnitude, we develop sicknesses. We develop torsions. There's a disease right now that is going on around the world. And it's been around for a while. It's called cancer. Okay? Personally, I believe cancer is formed by these voices in our heads. The doctors cannot identify it. They are trying to come up with cures. But think about it. You got cancer of everything. You got cancer of the leg. You got cancer of the neck. You got cancer of the boob. You got cancer of this. You got what? You got cancer of the boob?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. Come here, John. He's got something to say. I thought maybe he said, I got, that's me. I got cancer of the boob. Okay.
I have to say this. What was it 2 weeks ago? We talked about this Asian doctor that put all this water up. So you know, it kind of goes along what you're saying with cancer, and you know, I'm not here to disagree or agree. But if you really think about it, you know, after all that negative was talked to the water and then the positive was talked to the water, the negative was discombobulated from a molecular structure under an electron microscope, and the positive was a pure crystalline organized structure. So, you know, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. And it's not just cancer. It's so many diseases. And that we're not even talking about the mental diseases that are out there that are causing people to just go, I think dementia and what's the other? Alzheimer's might be another one of those. It's that they can't understand it with the brain. But people for years, you know, have all this negativity. And next thing you know, you see them after, I don't know, 40 years of thinking this way, that their minds are starting to go. It kind of makes you think a little bit about it.
Yep.
As far as an attack, I got one for you.
Okay.
All right. So my personal experiences, I've been.
This isn't a friend?
No. I'll come straight up.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's
get
away.
Yeah.
Great one.
Yeah. So you know, in my personal situation, I'm looking for employment. You know. And, you know, it's a long journey. So, you know, after you get turned down, and I kind of would say about 2 months ago, I didn't get a position that I was looking for. And, you know, and then it was before that, there was another one. And then it just seems to die off. And, you know, you don't get any emails, you don't get phone calls. And for a brief second, and this is what I'm talking about, examples. For a brief second, I started feeling sorry for myself.
Yep.
And depressed. And I was like, for a brief second, I was just in my house alone, and I said, you know what? I'm going to refuse to be this way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go down this road. So when you need, we're talking to the folks out there on specifically when an attack comes, what is it that you do? And I put a stop to it. I was like, I cannot be this way. I know where this goes if I feel sorry for myself. It doesn't end up good. If I allow depression to come on me, it doesn't end up good. You dig yourself into a deeper and deeper hole. I have to repel this. I don't care what it is I have to do to repel it. I have to get it out of my mind and I have to know that it's not from God.
I know a cure of that. Go help somebody. Go serve somebody. Go find somebody that needs some help and go help them. 99.9% to take you out of yourself is go help somebody and serve somebody and help somebody in something. Hey, I see you got to redo this. Let me come over and start helping you out. You know, and when you begin to serve others and you take yourself out of your circumstances, boom, you begin free. You begin to be set free of oppressions and depressions and all that other stuff. Because your eyes are on yourself. But when you take yourself out and you begin to serve somebody and help, that's why a lot of people go to become a workaholic, you know, to get out of their depression. They figure, well, I'll just go to work, you know, and then they work, and try to get out of that depression and become a workaholic. Yeah, come on up.
You know, we were just speaking about cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a health and exercise science major in college. And the biggest thing about cancer is it's caused by your body going through an intense stress where it's called fight or flight syndrome, where when a person's very stressed out and it's a I'm talking about not just stress for like maybe a half an hour, I'm talking about a continuous stressful environment. Your body is weakening the immune system because it's constantly under attack from the stress of your mind and everything else. And this is breaking down the immune system in your body, and that's what's causing these cancer cells to multiply. So I actually studied this in health and exercise science, so it is true. If you don't grab a hold of all these negative thoughts, it's causing your heart to be troubled. It's causing stress in your body. Your even your muscles start to get really tense, and everything starts to break down as far as the immune system in your body, and that's what's causing these cancer cells to multiply.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I have someone very close to me who was tormented constantly by another person where they actually, part of their mind frizzled out and developed multiple sclerosis. And it was because they were under such, I want to say, condemnation, guilt, shame. That person put so much guilt and shame on the other person that it fried a section of their brain out and caused multiple sclerosis. Now, old-time religion tried to work it a little bit. And they jumped on it, knew it was a spiritual attack, and they kept on saying, "Devil, come out!" You know, and try to create deliverance like that. But I thank God he changed my life. Because, for one, yes, it's all demonically influenced, and other people may disagree with me. Okay, and they can disagree with me all they want, and it's fine. And they can go and live their life and and hopefully it'll become a very healthy life for them. But I want to live a healthy life because I know the way, the truth, and the light. With that being said, they have authority. So if you can't get that person to realize and get them to change the way they're thinking, that authority is allowed to stay there. If you don't get that person to calm down and begin to stop worrying, stop fearing, stop being so tense, get them to change their lifestyle, whatever they're doing, and get them to relive their life in a different way. If they don't change the way they're thinking, they'll never be delivered. They'll never be set free. They have rights. Now, there is supernatural deliverance, okay? And I've seen it. I've seen many, many miracles in my life when I've seen the power of God come. But I believe it's because their heart already came to a place of repentance. Their heart didn't want it anymore. Their heart says, "I'm sick and tired of living this way. I'm sick and tired of being this way. I'm sick and tired, and I don't want it." And then as soon as I begin to pray and command or whatever the Lord directs me to, their mind is instantly changed and renewed, and they have no more authority to stay, and that sickness leaves. They're instantly delivered because their heart was already conditioned. Their heart was already at a place. They just needed that sense of approval, you know? The life that you're living now is not the life that you should be getting, and you need to live a certain life. "That's the way I felt." Go live it. Okay. All those things just go fleeing. They fly out. And next thing you know, their body and everything else, their mind's restored. I know. I'm going to speak because I believe that there's someone out there that's listening, and there might even be someone here right now. What are you waiting for? This is the word that I have for them. What are you waiting for? Do it now. You have a certain circumstance in your life that you want to change, but you're waiting for something. What are you waiting for? I believe that there are powers of lies that have convinced you that you have to wait. They lied to you to say that you have to wait. "Oh, I got to wait." "Well, what do you wait for?" Well, and they made excuses. No, just do it. Just do it. Because if not, it's just going to get worse. Things are going to be piled up. You got to get rid of it. You got to move on. You got to go. You got to do it. You just got to do it. You got to get it done. What are you waiting for? You follow what I'm saying? You lady over there. But this word isn't just for you. I mean, if it is yours, I mean, you grab it and hold on to it. But this is not directed to you. It's directed to whoever's to hear. Whoever's saying, ooh, man, that's me. We have to say to ourselves, I feel that there's a strong spirit that has lied to us and told us that we have to wait. And I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? Sell your property. Sell your home. Walk away from your property. Walk away from your home. Go rent. Go find something. Go do it. Don't wait. Go do it. What are you waiting for? I believe that there are some people that are listening that are bound by this spirit. And I know this spirit very well. Okay? And this spirit kind of gets you to wait. For what? And then they say some kind of stupid lie. And guess what? It gets into your heart. And you know what you're doing? You're waiting all your life. You're waiting all your life for something when you can just do it. How many have ever been trapped there? How many have been trapped there? You've been trapped there, lady over there? Yeah. It's a bad one. And I believe it's one of these sneaky little attacks the enemy has on 99.9% of God's people. I want to say God's people because we're all God's children. So I would say 99.9% of the world. But not so much all of them. You know, there's some people out there in the world that really don't have nothing to do. You know? I'm jealous and envy of those people who are just sitting on a rock, you know, preparing their food all day and washing their clothes in the lake. But there are some that live in a world that require you to do something. And they're not doing anything. And then what happens is this. They start pointing the finger. The enemy starts creating judgment in our head. And then we begin to point fingers at everybody. And we create excuses because it's this fault and that fault and this reason and that reason, and they come up with all these reasons of why they're not doing it. All these excuses, thousands of excuses, and some of them don't even make sense. Have you ever heard of someone that is in this type of bondage and you talk to them and they're like, well, I got away from it, and I can't do it because of this. And you look at them like, huh? What? Are you kidding me? Has anyone ever met anybody like that? Good, so you understand. See, it's important that you follow me or I'll go back and redo what I just said so I can get you to understand where I'm going. And we have to realize that it has nothing to do with us. Because the reality is, my God, the God of the universe, the one that I want you to know, gives you power. The Spirit of God moves you and creates you and gives you energy when you just do it. And time flies. He super exceeds your expectations and shows you that it wasn't that bad. But before we start it, oh my God, it's just a big, oh, look at this big job we got to do. Oh, it's just so overwhelming. It's just so much. Have anybody been trapped there? Yep. This is another trick of the enemy. You can do all things through the power of God. You know when you should get nervous? When you completely run out of everything. You're searching and looking and searching and looking. When you have almost a whole year of provision. You know how to fight that stronghold of thought where your depression comes in when you testified earlier about your depression and everything? For a brief moment. Okay, in that brief moment. Look at what you got, not what you don't have. This is another lie. We focus on things that we don't have all the time. How many of us focused on the things we don't have and we bog ourselves down and really weigh our hearts heavy? How many have been trapped in that one? It's another lie. And we got to get out of these things. The enemy is tricky and smart. And one of the things is, it focuses on us all the time. All these attacks come because it's focused on us. If we take ourselves out, that's why we need to become born again. It's no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me. This is why we need to be born again and come to a place of realizing that the things that are happening in the world, the universe, these attacks that are depriving us from the things we don't have, you know, the lies that come in and say, you don't have this, and it's so much to do, and you can't do this, all, you know, all that negative. Well, if it's not you, does it really matter? It's like this. Do you really care about the guy that lives down the road? Do you really care if he doesn't have anything or not? You see? Do you really care if he lost his job or not? Do you really care if he's got all this work to do or not? Do you care if he was, you know, lost his investments or whatever it was? Do you really care? Let's be real. No, I don't. And I'm supposed to be one of these loving guys. I love everybody. But I don't care about him. And I'm free. I can live my day and not let his problems bother me. Well, this is where we need to focus. It's not your problem. You see? Now we need to go help this guy out. You see? So let's start helping ourselves out. Let me go help this guy out. See, I know a guy named Jim. He's got a lot of problems. So I'm going to help Jim out. Okay? I'm over here, Miss. I can do all things with Jim. So I'm going to help Jim out. And I'm going to give Jim the strength, and I'm going to give Jim the power, and I'm going to give Jim the excitement and the enthusiasm, and I'm going to just get Jim off his butt, and I'm going to get him motivated, and he's going to do it. And then I take Jim, and I say, Jim, come on, let's go. Let's get it done. Let's do it. Let's just do it. Come on. Snap out of it. And I take on the identity that I'm supposed to have. See, you need that same identity. It's not you. So take on the one that you're supposed to take. I got to end this message now. Yes. Yes. Tim's going to come up. But I'm going to end this message real quick before I pass the mic over to Tim. He's going to close us. But I'm going to end it this way. Get out of yourself. Take on the form of God. Take on the form of God. And just say, I am now the universe. I am God, and He is me. Yes. Oh. And go help that one that is in need. That one that's beat up and the one that's, you know, lost. The one that needs help. The one that's confused. You know, go help them. Go help her. Go help him. You know? When they get offended easily and they're radioactive and they're like the nuclear reactor and rah, you know, go help them. Say, you know, you shouldn't act like that. Before they act like that. You know, why are you thinking that way? You shouldn't be thinking that way. He deeply does love you. I mean, look at what he does. Everything's going to be okay. And I know that it's going to be okay. Or I would have never said so. And I know that this God that I'm talking about loves us so much. Let this love come into your life. Let this love come into your life and let the power of the universe, let God, have you. Now, if He has you, if you give your life to Him, then all you need to do is move in Him and watch what He does. But if you're going to take on the other liar, Father, the father of lies, the one that's lying to us and the one that's creating us our self-pity and our depression and all this other stuff, guess what? You're going to be destroyed. It's simple as that. You're going to be destroyed. I'm here to lift you up. Not edify your addictions, but to lift you up and to know that there is a greater power that is in you than is in the world.
I just want to bring up an example about people that wait too long. I'm going to try to bring this into a kind of like a reality example. I'm in business, and I see a lot of business owners that they identify a need within their business, and there's a pain there because they need to get something fixed or something needs to be solved. So there's a solution that comes, and then all of a sudden, and this is caused by fear, causes them to wait. And they're saying, how can I afford that? How can I actually, is this going to make me more money? Is this going to make fit the need so the pain goes away? There's always an excuse which comes out of fear to why people wait and not move forward with what they know is going to solve a problem. I truly, truly believe that. I believe 99% of the world out there waits because of fear. They have that question on why, even though they know the answer, the fear that comes through the mind is convincing them to wait because there's still some unsurety if it's really going to help them or not. But God says we live by faith, not by sight. So if we walk by faith, we should be able to move according to our heart that we know that we know that we know that we need to take a step in faith. It's an action. And if you take that step in faith, God is going to be a rewarder for your faith. So when you know that you have a problem and there's a solution that's right in front of you, try it. Make a move on it. Don't wait because that solution may go away and you're still in the same predicament you were before. So that's why I truly believe that it's caused by fear is what causes people to truly wait. And there's always an opportunity where they may miss a blessing out of it. Amen? I'm going to call Pastor Jim back up again.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, to end that comment, one of the beautiful scripture verses that I love so much is perfect love casts out all fear. And when you have that perfect love, you know, that love is just simply, all right, Lord, I love you and I'm going to give you all my love, and you know, and it'll cast out that fear. And listen, do your best. Just do all that you can do and do your best. And if your heart's in the right place, God will reward us in that way. You know, I was sharing with, I think our tape is over now. Maybe it's still running, but I was sharing with a beautiful woman who I know about storing up treasures and storing up treasures in heaven. You know, don't store your treasures here on earth. And I look at all the treasures on earth as like your cares and, you know, your riches and all those other things. But store your treasures up in heaven and serve somebody, you know. Serve them unconditionally. Go help out a friend. Go pour your heart out with somebody and just kind of do something for someone. And you will see when you serve others, that'll help defeat some of those battles that you're fighting. You know, one of the greatest things is to lay your life down for a friend, you know. And if we begin to start laying our lives down for others, you'll begin to start seeing how this sin leaves. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless. And those that are listening, continue to listen and pass on glory to the nations.org. Amen.